Hot stuff.
Hey, everybody, it's Owen here. Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast. I hadn't talked to Luke in some time, and so Luke Johnson got on the phone, and we talked a little bit about the two trades. Luke's an Angels fan. I'm a Dodger fan. This past week, the Dodgers traded for Hanley Ramirez, and he made that trade pay off pretty quickly, hitting a home run against the Giants to win in extra innings. And just yesterday, today's Saturday, just yesterday, Zach Greinke was dealt to the Angels, and he's pretty excited about that. So we talked about both trades, which one's better, which one has higher risk, and a little bit about the Dodgers and the Angels. How great would a freeway series be, right? We talked a little bit about that, too. Hope you enjoy it. Luke Johnson, Owen Main on the Fansmanship.com podcast.
What's going on? It's been a while.
Oh, brother. I know. It's been a long time. You've been out of town doing your job, man.
Yeah, out of town, and then when I'm back in town, I got a full house. We got our cousins here and friends from out of town and about three kids under 2.5. So it's been a fun, 3 weeks, I guess, on my end.
You said three kids under 2.5?
Yeah, staying at our house.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Yeah, so it's pretty rad.
So training for you.
Yeah, training, exactly. It's with the Olympics on, it's I can think about it as training. So how excited are you right now? It's Saturday, and yesterday, right. I think it's a big week for both of us. Earlier in the week, yeah. The Dodgers traded for Hanley Ramirez.
Big Hanley.
And last night was kind of the first real tangible awesomeness that happened because of it. He hit a home run in the 12th, and the Dodgers beat the Giants in San Francisco.
And he did it. And he did it in classic Hanley fashion. You know what? Hanley's a confident kid or guy, and you know what? It was funny if you saw the picture of him after he hit that home run.
Oh, I saw it. Yeah.
He's got like the Batman goggles on. I don't know what he's doing.
I don't know what he's doing either, but it was awesome.
But
he might get beaned in the head today, but I hope not.
Yeah, I know. Because I was going to say, I have a buddy who is a huge Dodgers fan. I know he's not you or Andy. And when they first picked up Hanley, he said, forget Manny Wood, it's Hanley Wood.
Totally.
And, And that's kind of funny and kind of true because if you've ever watched the guy play, he's pretty cocky and also confident, so.
Well, yeah, you got to be. I mean, to be a good baseball
player. Hanley Wood.
Yeah, and we've talked about this. To be a good athlete in most sports, you have to be, at some level, pretty freaking cocky, right? I mean, whether it's basketball and we talked about LeBron James kind of finally being kind of a jerk, but Hanley just seems like he's kind of out there mentally. And
Hanley Wood, bro.
Yeah, Hanley Wood. I'm for it. And then yesterday came the news, and the Dodgers are really pushing the envelope with their new ownership. I saw a quote from the other day. Even after they got Hanley, the Dodger owner said, "We're not done. We're going to keep going out and keep improving and we're going to make it so that nobody wants to play against the Dodgers." And that's exactly what I want to hear as a Dodger fan. But the Angels are getting themselves there on the field. They acquired Zach Greinke, and they didn't have to give up somebody like Irvin Santana or anything. They gave up two or three minor leaguers to get Greinke.
It's sort of interesting. It's sort of bittersweet, I think, a little bit, because people were pretty much over Irvin. I mean, most Angel fans are through with Irvin.
Right.
He's got an $11.2 million price tag. So.
Well, he's your version of Chad Billingsley. It's just we don't have other options.
Yeah, and I would just say exactly. And that's probably a good comparison. I would say probably when Irvin's hot, he can look better than Billingsley. But Irvin's just been a disaster this year. He's like 1-9, and he's showing no signs of bouncing back. I mean, normally he has a slow start, and then he gets hot in the second half. But it's not happening this year.
And so
he's
going to get relegated to the bullpen. Is that what it looks like?
So it's bittersweet, because what's actually a nice thing about that is he's showing no drive, no sign of wanting to turn this thing around. And so we've had middle relief issues. We picked up Ferry in a trade, so that's kind of levied that a little bit. But there's been rumors that they want to use sort of Ferry and Jepson to kind of both close.
Oh, Ernesto.
Yeah, Ernesto. Yeah, to both close and see who's a better closer. Although Ernesto's always been a better, he's always been a middle relief guy. But
right.
They want to see which one of those two can close, because it's also been a little bit of a weakness after Walden just took a big poo. So
Walden definitely took a big poo.
So what's nice, though, is, I mean, I can imagine Irvin as like a 7th and 8th inning setup guy.
Yeah.
That's pretty scary.
Yeah, or a long reliever.
The problem with Irvin is he's just never had the mental wherewithal, I don't think, to withstand 7 or 8 innings consistently for the entirety of the year.
Here's where I could see Irvin's role being, and you know, I like C.J. Wilson, but I could see like a game in the playoffs, say the Angels versus Yankees in the ALCS, and C.J. Wilson gets roughed up in the first like 2 or 3 innings, gives up 6 runs or something like that. And I could see Irvin coming in and mopping up and giving you like 4 or 5 innings, pitching into the 8th and maybe giving your offense a chance to come back. That's kind of what I'm picturing. It's like, you know, if one of those frontline guys falters, you know, you can just throw him in there, and that way he won't have to think about it too. And I think that actually might also mean he doesn't get in his own way, because just like Billingsley on the Dodgers, I feel like that's part of Santana's deal is, yeah, he's unlucky sometimes, but most of the time it's just him getting in his own way, right?
It's just him being a total idiot. Like,
walking
instance,
guys, throwing like 1 or 2
well,
bad pitches.
Well, check this out. After his first 3 starts, he's given up 10 home runs, and I'm not kidding. He gave up 10 home runs his first 3 starts. Okay.
So he elevated the ball. Yeah.
And they sat down with Irvin, and I saw this interview. And the Angel guys were like, "Hey, Irvin, what's going on? Is something going on with your arm, or what's up? What's up?" And Irvin's response was, "I throw the ball hard. So you either whiff, or you hit the ball out."
Huh.
That was his whole philosophy. It wasn't like, "Yeah, you know what? I haven't been locating my pitches.
I haven't been spotting my pitches
before."
Right.
You know, it was just, "Hey, man, I'm going to throw hard, and if you have the guts to hit it, then you're going to hit it out. Oh well."
Oh well, and I have to be okay with that. And that's
Oh well, Irvin, you're 1-9. You have like a way over 5 ERA. So no oh wells.
No oh wells in that case. Stop it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But I'm stoked on Greinke, man. I mean, Zach Greinke is a beast, dude. I drank the Kool-Aid back in 2009 when he won the Cy Young.
Yeah, with the Royals.
With the Royals, dude. He was 16-8. I mean, he won 16 games pre Billy Butler and Alcides Escobar.
Which is
kind of funny because the Royals are not that good already, but
they can
actually score runs a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, with pre-Hosmer, Escobar, and Buck.
Right.
And he won 16 games and had like a 2.4 ERA. Well, I'm thinking, God, if in 2009 he was playing for like the Yankees or Red Sox, he was in what, 22-2?
Right. And as an outsider, I have kind of two questions about Greinke. One is, are the Angels, and this is a question I'm going to ask you later about the Angels kind of keeping up with the Joneses as far as making high-level trades in L.A. and keeping themselves on the front page. And then the other one is this concept of Greinke. Are you concerned about his mental status, his anxiety issues in a big market like L.A.? Is that something that concerns you? Or since the Angels are kind of the traditional second most talked about team traditionally in the city, is that going to be like an easier transition for him? What do you think about that as an Angels fan?
You know what? We'll see. I mean, that's
a risk. Is it a concern for you? I mean, is it I guess.
No. I mean, it's not really, because that's sort of the bonus I have being an Angels fan. Okay. We understand that we are the second most talked about baseball team in L.A. and the third most talked about team in the state behind the Giants as well. So, I mean, that's kind of a bonus too, because Artie and the Halos and Mike Socha know how to build teams for success and to be perennial postseason slots. I mean, if you look from 2000 on, we're superior to your Dodgers, really. I mean,
sure.
Not to brag, but
sure.
We are.
No, absolutely.
But we've done that quietly, and still playing the sort of stepbrother role behind the Dodgers.
You're like comfortable there. The Angels are comfortable there.
I actually welcome that, dude. Yeah, yeah. I welcome that because you're right. Greinke has a little bit of like an anxiety issue. But I'm thinking, how great. I mean, he comes in, like you said, to the second most talked about team in L.A. He's not playing for the Dodgers. They have this illustrious history. And so why not, you know, see what he can do with a fan base that's really excited
Right.
It's not the kind of fan base that's going to boo you off the field.
Well, and when you compare the Greinke deal and the Ramirez deal, there are on the surface anyway so many similarities. I mean, you talk about not having to give up hardly anybody to get the guy. Being able to pay the remaining money, and both the Dodgers and Angels are doing that. And then you talk about two guys that are just kind of really good fits in both of their places, I think. Whereas Greinke is you know, like you said, kind of on the kind of understated team maybe. I mean, they signed Albert Pujols, and you know, they're still not on the front page most of the time as far as the sports. I mean, the Dodgers are just dominating there.
Well, because history speaks, though.
Right, absolutely. You know,
I'm not stupid enough to be one of those Angel fans who's going to go around, like I said, even though we've been superior from 2000 on.
Right.
I'm not one of those Halo fans who's dumb enough to go around and think that that's our area.
But that is history, and that is building that, and over time that
sure.
matters. And then
yeah.
you know, you have Greinke there, but then I was going to say you also have Hanley, and Hanley's come to the place that does get the spotlight, and he seems to be a guy who kind of needs it or wants it,
yeah.
kind of like
Absolutely.
Manny was. And you talk about
Absolutely.
Hanleywood, Mannywood back then, Hanleywood now. You know, he hit that homer and he did his goggle thing, and honestly, like, he's, I think, a guy who's going to thrive in a place like LA where he can be, you know, one of the two or three centers of attention. He's got
okay.
guys like Kemp around him. I'm going to post an article pretty soon here and talk about why he's so great for the Dodgers. One of the reasons is because of the tension, the lineup tension, the lineup pressure that he alleviates. You know, when you talk about a guy who is hitting 190 in Uribe, who is playing most of the time at third, or Adam Kennedy, you improve that even up to 250. Even a bad Hanley Ramirez, what he's been this year, you know, 250 with 14 homers or something like that. That's actually the biggest improvement that the Dodgers could ever make still at any position.
Let me ask you sort of a two-part question, beginning with sort of Hanley's beginnings. Obviously, it did seem like he was over his sitch in Miami, and he was pretty upset. I mean, he was candid about it. I mean, he was pretty upset when they first signed Jose Reyes, because Reyes stole his shortstop gig. And obviously the spotlight was obviously shifted a bit there.
Right.
While I agree from like a surface level that Hanley is a guy who likes the spotlight and he can thrive with Dodger Blue because they are that celebrated team, how confident are you that Hanley over time is going to be okay being that third wheel, always being that third wheel, no matter how he plays?
Behind what, Kershaw and Kemp?
Well, and maybe even Ethier. I mean, Ethier's fairly celebrated.
I think at the end of this year, by the end of this year, the Dodgers, you know, if he does what I think he's going to do, which is to really thrive, to really become the player that he has been, and
sure.
and, you know, even if he hits 300 the rest of the year with maybe 10 to 15 more homers, you know, you're going to talk about a guy who's, you know, like I said, way better than Uribe. and I don't think he's going to be playing third base, number one. I think there's a possibility that, you know, D. Gordon just kind of has proved himself to be a okay spot guy, but maybe not an everyday guy yet. I think there's a possibility he goes back and forth between third and short, Ramirez. I think there's a possibility that the Dodgers still go out and get a guy who can play a corner infield position. It's why I thought Euclid made a ton of sense, you know, earlier on even. But because they still, you know, they could still use even two, if they got two more good corner infielders, they would be able to plug them in right away, because Loney is also a vast wasteland of non-production.
Yeah.
I mean, not as bad as Uribe was, but, you know, he's ceilinged out a long time ago, Loney. So you start to think about how the Dodgers are positioned. I think at the end of the year, if Ramirez does what he needs to do, I think Ethier and Kemp both have been around there long enough, and I think Ramirez is what, he's like 28? So all these guys are like in their prime. I mean, you're talking about three guys, you know, completely in their prime. I don't think he's going to have an issue. I think, you know, the Yankees figure a way to do it with guys, and that's what I feel like the Dodgers ownership wants to build, is a Yankees-like situation where, you know, you don't just have one superstar or two superstars that you can, you're okay with having, you know, two, three, four, five guys in your lineup who are legitimate, you know, I don't want to say MVP every year kind of threats, but who have that kind of talent. You know, I mean, you look at the Yankees, they have Teixeira, Jeter, and Jeter's obviously past his prime, but you talk about names, Teixeira, Jeter, A-Rod, Granderson right now is incredible. You know, you go down the line. With the Dodgers, I feel like you're going to get there, and it takes so much pressure off of Kemp to have a guy like Hanley there. So now if Kemp goes in a little slump, everybody doesn't notice it and freak out about it, and the Dodgers, it doesn't mean the Dodgers lose 8 out of 10 when Kemp goes in a slump, because you have
a little bit more.
So I don't think it's going to be an issue. I think there's plenty of cameras in LA for, you know, for everybody. I think Hanley's going to like it there, and I actually think that that it's a possibility if he has a good rest of this year for the Dodgers to lock him up for even longer. I think, you know, he's got, what, 2 years left after this year, I think, on his contract at like $15 million a year. I would, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if the Dodgers put him into like a 5-year deal at the end of this year if he plays well, and then they have, you know, Ethier, Kemp, and Hanley locked up for that time too.
Sure. You know what? And the interesting thing about Hanley too is, I mean, when he's bad, he's not really that bad.
Right.
In the last few years, the last 2 years, he obviously was hurt, injured, so he had some poor years. But
yeah.
And this year, obviously, his mind's been elsewhere, so he sort of needs that change of scenery. But really, when you look at Hanley, I mean, he set the bar so high his first 4 years in baseball.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he hit more home runs than any, you know, infielder in whatever, or minus first base, third, but any shortstop or second baseman, he hit runs in like a 4-year span. So, and I think he hit like 325, 330 over that span. So
right.
The guy set the bar so high that it's like, say he hits 280 consistently for the rest of his career, we're always going to be like, oh man, what if, you know, what if Hanley could have really just put it all together, you know?
I'm saying if he hits between 280 and 300, if he can do that, then I'm like, I'm excited because he's 27. He can, you know, it's not like he's going to fall off anytime soon, I don't think. I mean, he has been falling off the last year and a half, but I think as he gets healthy, you know, that's definitely something that the Dodgers can look forward to. And along with that Cuban outfielder, if he's as good as people think he is, Puig, then, you know, they're going to have a squad in the next 5 years, you know? I mean, I think...
But you guys could have found a way to package Loney in that deal, just to get rid of the guy.
And there's been a lot of talk about Uribe getting designated for assignment and how they should do that, but they put Kennedy on the disabled list instead.
They should make Uribe the third base coach.
Better yet, he needs to be the ball boy down the third base line.
Yeah, he's so cool. I would love that, dude. That would be some balls right there by ownership. That'd be so cool.
We'll still pay you $8 million a year, but you need to be the ball player.
And I could see Uribe, like, because he's such an emo guy. I could see Uribe just like
just rolling with it,
languishing, just rolling, but also rolling with it, and like being inspired. Like, I'm the highest paid, you know, ball boy ever.
He has good hands for balls that are hit to him. You know, he's still an okay infielder for that. But
better hit to him. That was pretty fun.
But if they're not, if they're, you know, a foot or two to one way or the other, it's like Jeff Kent at second base. He's got similar range to Juan Uribe.
Yeah.
Right.
That's
on.
Awesome.
Yes. So who then made the better trade? Short term and long term. Which trade was better? Was it the trade the Dodgers made for Hanley Ramirez, or was it the trade? I mean, neither team gave up any major leaguers, basically. The Dodgers also got a left-handed pitcher in the deal.
You know what?
Which trade was better?
I think in answer to your question, it's all which scoop of ice cream you choose, the ice cream parlor. It's all your own opinion, your own shade of gray, so to speak. I mean, I'm a guy who believes in pitching. I'm kind of old school that way. So, yeah, I told you on the phone earlier before we have to do a podcast that I was super stoked on Pujols, obviously, because he's like the greatest player of our generation, but I understand how much pitching wins games, you know. So last year we had this sort of small ball squad with the Halos, and we still won 90, you know, think 86 games.
Because you were still pitching,
dominant. Because we had pitching. Yeah. So, of course, I see the importance of scoring runs, obviously.
Sure.
How we now score runs with Trout, Trumbull, and Pujols. But,
right.
But for me, it's always pitching. So as much as I've always liked Hanley, and I think Hanley's going to be key to you guys' success, especially especially in getting into the postseason this year, for me, it's Greinke because there was one blight on the radar screen with us. It was a fourth starter, and Irvin was struggling, and we also had a little bit of an issue with the middle relief. And so this trade gives us that fourth ace. I mean, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
We pretty much have four number ones now.
Well,
and
you filled a need.
Irvin, I think Irvin seems like he's the right kind of personality because he's not too serious about himself, which is also the problem. But I think it's also going to solve some of that middle relief issue.
Right. Well,
now we have that fourth starter, and we have that middle reliever who could be, like you said, in the postseason could be lights out. I mean, Irvin could be huge. Come in, like he said, pitch four or five big innings and give us time to, you know, stay in the ballgame. So.
Right. And I really do feel like both teams really filled a need. I mean, I'm thinking that the Dodgers' need at third base was greater than the Angels' need for the fourth starter. The Dodgers just had a vacant black hole. I mean, Irvin, for how bad he was, he had some tough luck, too. There were games that he pitched that the Angels just didn't give him any runs this year either.
Sure.
Uribe hit 180 or 190, and that's not bad luck. That's a black hole. And so, you know, for me, the Dodgers' glaring need at third base that got solved, along with this, you know, this concept that they had a need to get another hitter. Listen, do the Dodgers have pitching needs too? Yeah, they've been talking about Dempster, they've been talking about Garza, they've been talking about other guys too. Greinke, I've heard, you know, in the past with the Dodgers too. But I really do feel like the hole that the Dodgers filled to both continue to bring excitement to the stadium, because we know that's a big deal, in La La Land, and then, you know, this concept of putting another guy in the middle of the lineup who is a legitimate threat, who when other teams game plan, they don't game plan. A.J. Ellis is having a great year. Other teams don't game plan to not let A.J. Ellis beat them. But if you only have Kemp and Ethier, you can game plan. You say, okay, Kemp and Ethier aren't going to beat me. I'm going to make Juan Rivera beat me, or I'm going to make James Loney beat me, or I'm going to make Juan Uribe beat me, or I'm going to make, you know, any other knucklehead who the Dodgers put out there beat me, D. Gordon or whatever. But they're going to have to start pitching more to Kemp. They're going to have to start, you know, Ethier and Kemp are going to have to start getting better pitches, because that lineup just gets deeper and deeper, even with the addition of one guy. So
yeah.
To answer my own question, I don't know which one's best,
yeah.
But I think they're both excellent
trades.
They're both
fantastic.
They're both great trades.
You know what? And a really interesting stat about the Angels that I think people don't realize, because Trout's having this huge, I mean, talk about a huge year. Trout's
right.
Having this huge year. And
so is Trumbull. Yeah, so is Trumbull.
Well, yeah, Trumbull. Yeah, well, I mean, it's kind of sad. Trumbull's been sort of in the shadow.
He's incredible.
Huge year too.
Yeah.
He's having a flat-out MVP year, too.
Oh, yeah.
And then Pujols is like, not that far off from me, from even being considered also for another MVP award. It's crazy that sounds after his slow start.
Right.
So Pujols is playing well. So, I mean, they're scoring a lot of runs right now. Torrey's starting to hit.
Yeah.
Some of these guys are starting to hit. Howie's starting to hit. But an interesting stat about the Angels, with all the offense that they've began to produce the last 2 or 3 months of the season, I think they rank about the 14th or 15th in average with runners in scoring position.
Interesting.
So, yeah, it's sort of interesting. They score a lot of runs in bunches.
They hit homers. They hit homers because Pujols.
Which is totally great. You know,
right.
I think that they're like fifth in run scores. So they hit
right.
Every score run. But if there's one reason why I think quietly behind the scenes our pitching needed to be addressed now, and DePoto did it, is because of that blaring weakness, their 14th or 15th with runners in scoring position.
Just clutch hitting, yeah.
But when you're facing these lockdown guys, you know, come postseason, you're facing the CC Sabathias, you know, the world of the Justin Verlanders, and these lockdown, you know, lights-out pitchers. You can't always think Trumbo is going to be hitting Trump bombs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to also remember that Trout and Trumbo are young too, man. I mean, they could go through a little bit of that jittery kind of.
Yeah. So when you talk about this year, then so they trade for Greinke. How long do they have Greinke for? Just this year, right?
Yeah, they pretty much running him for half the year.
Right.
Greinke
right.
Seems like from what I've heard, Greinke's really open to signing some kind of an extension.
Sure.
And I think DePoto is If I had to guess, DePoto's going to lock him up, obviously, before he's a free agent, because if not, the Yankees and the Red Sox are going to come calling.
Well, and that being said I have this question. The concept that they traded some of their, I hope, you know, presumably good minor leaguers now, was it too early to mortgage the farm? In other words, you said Trout's young. I mean, he could go south in the postseason very easily. Trumbo's young. You know, he hasn't been through a postseason. So, is this concept of, you know, kind of trading for right now with Greinke, if you aren't able to sign him after this year, would you think a lot less of this trade? If the Angels make the playoffs but lose in the first round, you say, well, they would have done that anyway. Without Greinke.
Definite concern.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a definite concern. It sort of reminds me of the CC Sabathia trade from the Yankees to the Brewers. The
Indians. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and that deal, how he didn't end up sticking around.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
But they pushed and they got into the postseason nonetheless. You know,
Well, the Brewers, it was a bigger deal. I mean, the Angels
always,
have been in the postseason lately.
It's always a concern. You know, it's always a concern because I was – you know, pretty excited about Juan Segura, who is the rookie shortstop that we dealt. I think he ranks sixth right now in the top 10 prospects in baseball.
Yeah.
We actually gave up three of the top 10 prospects in baseball.
That's
so, yeah,
what I'm saying,
so definitely it's a concern. We gave up one lefty pitcher, but Segura was definitely the golden of the three. But at the same time, I guess it's a worthy risk because if you look at the Angels – minus Hunter and Vernon Wells, I don't even want to talk about Vernon Wells, but minus Hunter, Wells, and Pujols, we're still really young.
Right,
and,
right.
And the thing that people forget about is, and this is where I love it, you know, Angel baseball right now, and this is what I think Artie's brought to the team, is Artie will spend money on the right guys.
Right.
But Artie is, believe it or not, it's kind of a stringent businessman. I mean, he spends money, obviously. I mean, he makes these splashes through the whole C.J. Wilson, Torrey Hunter,
right.
Vladimir Guerrero, these big names. But he does so in a way where he melds them into a farm culture. And, you know, most of the players who start for the Halos are farm guys. I mean, most of those guys are farm guys. And so, with that said, yeah, it's always a concern when you can only rent a guy for half a year for three of these top 10
right.
prospects. But, you know, we have Ibar at short. And yeah, he's not having quite like an Ibar year, but he's historically a 275 guy with almost
right.
40 stolen bases.
Right.
He's only 27 years old.
Right. So Ibar should be theoretically coming into his own this year and next year.
Ibar's fine for the next 5 or 6 years. And I like what DePoto said last night when I saw him get interviewed after the deal. They said, you know, are you a believer that you don't mortgage the, you know, parts of the farm for these big names, or, you know, how do you gauge that? Or are you able to bring getting a proven guy
right.
and mortgaging a few of these pieces? And he said the latter. He said, you know, I believe in a proven guy. You know, baseball's a weird sport. You know, all the time. He said, you know, 90, 95, 96, 97, 99% of these guys that we get out of high school or college who are big time names never pan out. They can never even get out of the farm system.
So you see Greinke as a proven guy, and so does DePoto.
Well, Greinke
sounds
is
like,
a proven guy.
Yeah.
I mean, Greinke is a proven guy.
Sure.
So, sure, it's interesting more so than it is, you know, scary for, I think, a lot of Angel fans. It'll be interesting.
Well, right.
Is Greinke going to be the piece? Can they lock him up beforehand? Is Greinke going to be that needed piece that's going to win us a game if the offense, like I said, takes a poop because they can't score with runners in scoring position?
I think if the Angels either go to the World Series this year or if the Angels are able to lock Greinke up long-term, I don't think anybody will have an issue long-term with a deal, even if the guys who they traded become really good. I think the place that I think Angel fans will say, oh, man, were we just trying to keep up with the Dodgers? What the heck were we thinking? Will be if they rent Greinke, they lose in the first round of the playoffs, and then Greinke doesn't come back because he likes small markets and signs with, like, the Reds or something random, right? I think
And not to bore you, but it's like, you know, just to give you an idea real quick, and I'll throw out a few big names. You know, Weaver's 27.
Right.
You know, Weaver's 27, Trump was 26, Trout's 20, El Cubano is 26, you know,
El Cubano?
El Cubano?
Yeah. Is that
26.
Is that Kendry?
That's Kendry. Howie's only 27. Ibar's 27. I mean, you know, we're young.
Right.
We're young. I mean, we are young. You know, obviously, Torrey's 38.
Right.
Torrey's actually playing well for older time. So, yeah, totally interesting to give away three of the top 10 prospects. That's always a something that you pay attention to. But
yeah,
like you said, if Greinke can even show some promise, and you know what, he's going to have quite a interesting first three games here that
right,
he's slated to pitch.
He's going to
open on Sunday against the Rays,
uh-huh,
and then check this out. And then come August, he's going to start the second game of a two-game series at Texas against the Rangers.
Okay.
So
okay. Yeah.
We're currently four games back in the division there. And then the A's are red hot right now, and that's
right,
a team that no one's talking about. They're right on our tail for that wild card, for one of the wild card spots.
Right.
And he's slated to start the second week in August to open that series in Oakland.
Wow.
So
right,
we're gonna find out about Greinke right away, I'll say that.
Do you think that, you know, this Hanley Ramirez thing is gonna last? Do you think he's gonna come back to earth? I tend to think he's gonna hit about 300 to 310 the rest of the year and be just a kind of a stable. I mean, he'll be exciting for fans and dynamic, but in terms of the lineup, he'll be a real stabilizing force and allow guys like Kemp and Ethier.
Where are they slotting him right now? In the lineup.
I didn't. You know, I've been, like I said, I've had family in town, so I haven't been able to see him. And the Olympics were on last night, and we'll get to that in the second part of this podcast. This is going to be a two-parter here on fansmanship.com. But I want to say second, maybe, or fifth. I don't know.
Yeah.
I would imagine you'd want to
have.
You know what? I'd imagine you'd want to have like either Ramirez, Ethier, Kemp, or Kemp, Ethier, Ramirez to kind of like
sure,
to break it up right, left, right, maybe.
Sure. Yeah.
So.
You know what? If you're gonna hit, you know, game-winning home run or whatever, no, I mean, come on. But is he showing some vigor?
Uh-huh.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
But that was what his second or third game. So
right.
No. This is baseball. It's a long season. And
sure.
Well, I think it's Hanley because he had a struggle the last 2.5 seasons.
Uh huh.
You're just gonna have to wait and see.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. I
yeah.
mean. And like you said, anything is an upgrade.
Anything is an upgrade.
Day.
God help us.
And you know what? And if Hanley is still Hanley, the Hanley who's been a 250 hitter the last 2.5 years or whatever,
then just
don't sign him past his last couple years. I mean, that's pretty simple.
Right. You just won't sign him, and
you'll just
rent him out, and he'll be Casey Blake when Casey Blake was good. And honestly, like that's acceptable given this current Dodger team. They can get something done with that. And if he is Hanley better than that, if he is a 300 to 320 kind of Hanley. With, you know, an OPS over 750, then, you know, you can kind of start to think about the Dodgers as maybe being one of those dynamic teams who has a shot to get hot and, you know, like the Cardinals did last year or something like that. I'm excited. I think L.A. baseball right now is a pretty exciting place and a pretty exciting thing to be in. And to be an L.A. baseball fan is definitely exciting right now. And both teams are making dynamic moves and really, it's the best of both worlds. Kind of my last question or what if, and I know it's not Wednesday, so the what if, you know, can maybe wait till Wednesday, but on what if Wednesdays, but, you know, how great would it be to see the Dodgers and Angels in the World Series? I think, you know, both teams have made moves that can help them, you know, potentially get there. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but I think that's a distinct possibility. What do you think? I mean, lots of things have to go right for anybody to make the World Series, but why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
Why
not, Luke?
Hey, you know what? A boy can always dream, and I've been dreaming of a freeway series for 8 years.
If there was a freeway series, would we have to mortgage the farm and get down there?
Dude, if we had a freeway series, I would stop anything but my wife to get there. Dude, I would sell, like, my left pinky toe to be tickled and jarred at some delicacy in Bolivia to get with dirt.
Well, on that note, I think we need to just leave it there. Luke, It's been fun. Happy Saturday. And this is the end of the first part. We'll have the second part posted soon on the fansmanship.com podcast.
All right. Peace.
So what is fansmanship.com?
Say what?
We're a sports website by the fans for the fans.
He wants to be a Laker.
For the Central Coast.
Catch the ball.
California.
The sweat-stained glitter Simmons wig.
And beyond.
Tim Tebow.
We love sports. Fansmanship.com. By the fans, for the fans.
Flashing clip-on nipple piercing and pink or purple tanning thong for absolutely free.
Yeah. Fansmanship.com. By the fans, for the fans.